welcome to today's episode of Sexopedia. I'm Sarah Gibson. We're thrilled to have a special guest with us, Rock 13, an expert in the fascinating world of sex dolls. Rock 13 is not only a seasoned enthusiast, but also a dedicated staff member at the Doll Forum, contributing over 8,000 posts. He's presenting three incredibly stunning partners, Kendall, Hadley, and Harper, in the forum. Let's dive deep into the intriguing and evolving world of sex dolls with Rock 13. Welcome, Rock 13.
Hello, Sarah. How are you?
Hey, it's good. Could you please tell us something about you?
Well, I don't know where you want me to start. I mean, I'll be 62 soon. So basically, I had a normal late 60s, early 70s childhood in a fairly exclusive neighborhood in San Diego, in the San Diego area. Did all the normal boy stuff, you know, climb trees, mowed lawns. I had lots of odd jobs when I was a kid because, you know, I was pretty ambitious. Let's see, my emphasis in school was sciences, like, you know, chemistry, biology, stuff like that. And that's what I studied in college. And then later, in my mid-20s, I joined the military and never looked back. I was in for nearly 30 years. I've been married and divorced twice. And, you know, I'm not sure how much that influenced my decision on dolls, because frankly, if the modern generation of dolls were around when I was in high school, I would have loved to gotten one for a graduation present.
Yeah, that's very impressive. I'm just like a little bit curious about how did you first discover and start acquiring dolls? Because usually dolls are like out of sight. It's not like a common adult toys you would like approach.
Sure. I don't know that many people, you know, get on the computer in the morning and type sex dolls into their search engine, you know, just out of the blue. It's kind of something you have to stumble on. Well, let's see. I've dated a bit since my second divorce up till about 2016, right? And just as a lot of young people complain about on TikTok and YouTube, I found that the market had become a bit less alluring, you know? And so I've been single ever since. So for about 11 years now. And in 2016, or maybe even earlier, in my YouTube feed, one of the suggested videos was from a guy who you've already interviewed, Turd Flinging Monkey, TFM. So I was watching a lot of his social commentary and content, pretty funny, insightful. And eventually what happened, I can't remember exactly when, I think it was 2016, he acquired the doll that he calls Celestina. It intrigued me, so I did a little web searching myself, and I found a vendor. And about 3 months later, I went ahead and, you know, ordered my first doll, Hadley. Yeah, that's how I discovered him. I owe that to TFM.
All right. Yes, I actually talked to some other guys in a forum, and they told me that they've been influenced by TFM about his doll's journey and his life with Celestina. So I guess this is really inspiring.
He has a pretty broad reach. He has a pretty expansive reach. He was on various platforms until, I guess, YouTube either demonetized or struck down his channel.
Yeah.
Because they have a habit of doing that. He went over to Twitch, and I think he may have been on Parler for a while or something like that. But yeah, anyway, so he's reached a lot of people over the years.
Right. He's still really active in the community, and he had many great literature like works, and also he's having a great podcast. Last time I watched his podcast, it's like a 6 hour long podcast, and that's crazy.
Right. Yeah, the guy's got stamina. I'll give him that.
He is such a character, and he has so many things to share and inspire. So I really love talking to him. Since you like mentioned about your the experience of you ordering the first doll, like I'm wondering how did you feel when you first see your doll?
Well, the let's see, she arrived on Valentine's Day 2017, which was good timing.
Yeah, like a
Yeah.
Valentine's Day box. Come on.
Right. Yeah,
Right.
I helped the UPS guy give him, bring the box up the stairs. I went very slowly. I opened the box carefully and stood it up against the wall on what I presumed were, the feet. Just gradually unpacked it, took out all the extra stuff, 'cause these boxes usually arrive full of accessories and a blanket and like initial clothing or lingerie, something like that. And typically the head will be down between the knees in a little pocket. So I went slow, basically just reached up under the armpits and sort of hooked her out towards me. I already had a place to put her, and so I swung her over there and laid her down on this memory foam like mattress thingy. I forget what they call them, but it's basically a pad, so I had prepared for her arrival. And then it took me about just kind of back then they didn't send them with a manual on things like range of motion, so I just started testing out a range of motion on her arms, on her lower back, and the legs. It was almost a month before I actually did anything intimate with her.
The other day I was talking to TFM, and he told me when he first got Celestina, he also didn't start with anything intimate immediately, which is kind of out of expectation for me, because personally I thought like when you got a doll, you might want to immediately like just try it out to see how does it feel. But it's not the case. Actually, people spend quite a long time developing emotional connection with it. And I'm just like wondering, how would you describe your emotional connection with your doll?
Well, it's obviously simulated. I mean, it's all in my head. I don't have any delusions about my, doll being a true living being or anything. But, at first, I was all over there in my left brain just trying to figure out how not to damage the doll, how to handle it safely. And
Gotcha. Yeah.
I hadn't discovered the doll forum yet. That came later, which I don't recommend, by the way. I recommend that people do a little bit more research than that to kind of figure out how these things work and all, and what to expect. So social media and the forums can really help a person with that decision, before they commit the money and all that. And
Yeah.
it heads off a lot of, erroneous expectations. And the however, I just did it. And I mean, I was smitten with the doll the moment I took her out of the box. I mean, she definitely looked exactly like what I had ordered. I guess I started to sort of play old tape, so to speak, of women I'd had experience with in the past, and including like my sister's friends. I had two very popular sisters. They had a huge circle of friends. So, it's like even before I initially, initiated intimacy with the doll, I was already starting to feel very warmly toward it. It's not like a car. Like my car's name is Vanessa, but I don't talk to Vanessa. I don't hug Vanessa.
Gotcha.
I keep up with her maintenance and she gets me down the road and that's that. But, the doll's different. I mean, they come so close to crossing the uncanny valley that if you're open to the doll experience, chances are you're gonna, once you have one of your own, you're gonna get sucked in. It's
Yeah.
gonna happen,
This is called like doll addiction. Yeah.
Well, maybe it, for me, the through my upbringing and through what I, did for a living, the particular branch of service I was in has a lot of women in it. Of course, I had wives and girlfriends and whatever. And so, throughout most of my life, I was accustomed to be having plenty of women in my vicinity. And that was one thing that was missing after my second divorce. I moved 2,500 miles away, and then it was just me. So, for a few years there, I got really, big into my hobbies and stuff. And then once I saw TFM's channel, and when he introduced Celestina,
Yeah.
it was like a forehead slap moment. I was like, oh, seriously, I was thinking to myself, well, I'll get one. She sort of fools my my mind into feeling like I have a feminine presence in the house, that'll be great, right? You
You're
know,
right.
and that's kind of the way it is. I mean, you know,
Yeah.
I remember from psychology classes that, you know, you can't really keep a chimpanzee, for instance, all by itself. You know, they will typically, you know, if a research facility or a zoo has one chimpanzee, they will typically give it a stuffed toy or you know, one that emulates another chimpanzee, and they're much happier. You know, and I'm like, well, you know, technically I'm a primate, maybe it'll work on me. You know?
I mean, we're all social animals. To some extent, we need people or things just to, or even pets to keep us company. I mean, so that's a very important aspect of a dog that provides companionship for people.
Oh,
And
yes.
that leads to like a very supportive energy in life.
Yeah, well, and that there's also you know, the age old dissonance between male and female sex drives, right? You know, the
Exactly.
I mean, typically, you know, maybe anybody who's listening who has a steady girlfriend or a wife, I mean a man in particular, and you know, the women, I'm sure, can attest to this on the, you know, in the other direction. You know, a guy can walk around feeling frisky for days and days and days before she gets in the mood, right? That's why I say I would have been happy to have Hadley when I was graduating high school, because being able to achieve that physical release with an object that does indeed cross the uncanny valley and meet you in the middle. Boy, that would have taken an awful lot of pressure off of me in terms of like my ulterior motive always being to get laid, always being to meet some girl, right? I mean, it didn't matter whether I was working as a lifeguard when I was younger, scuba diving, surfing, playing guitar in garage bands. You know, everything was predicated on the potential. You know, going to the college library, for instance, it was like, I think I'll go to the college library. I'm going to study up on this particular aspect of my class, and maybe I'll meet some hot chick. You know, it's
It's
just,
always on
it's,
your mind.
those are gears. Yeah. For a guy, often, if he's got a high testosterone level, that's a gear that's always turning, always.
I didn't know, like, I didn't know that's gonna exert a lot of pressure on you guys because I thought it's something like natural, but I guess I just never realized that the cultural influence, like guys has to be strong and masculine doing certain activities like weight training or sound adventurous to attract female. I didn't know that's like huge pressure on you guys.
I don't know that it's a, I don't know how much of that pressure is external. All I know is that my biological drives were just redlined for decades. You know, it's like, it's kind of like, I suppose it would be like, I suppose it would be like being a werewolf and full moon is every night, right?
Jesus.
Like every night the moon is full, right?
I love
Now,
this metaphor.
yeah. Well, the thing is, well, the difference there comes down to whether you're a polite werewolf or an actual werewolf, right? I mean, the yeah. I mean, I used to dress nicely, and I would go out and, you know, show off my plumage and try to attract mates. You know, it's not like I was just going to go out there and take anything that wasn't given. I think I'm a fairly well-adjusted individual. But that is the way the drive feels on the inside, you know, and I mean, it's a hunger for some people, and it was certainly the case for me.
Gotcha. So why didn't you like think about using something like masturbators, cups, or adult toys?
Well, I didn't really even know about them, and until I was, you know, until I'd been married for a while, I think, yeah, during my second marriage. You know, well, my first wife was really frisky all the time. She was always raring to go. It wasn't the sex life that broke us up. It was other things. But you know, my second wife, you know, she kind of went through a frigid phase after about 3 years. She started to become less and less interested and all that. And toward the end of that marriage, I was deployed, and in South Louisiana. And you know, we had lived in New Orleans for quite a few years, but I'm driving down the highway in this relatively small town, and there's a A sex shop the size of a Walmart. I'm talking like Las Vegas, flashing lights, huge sign. And so I pulled in. I'm like, what is that? So I pulled in there, and seriously, on the inside, it's like I couldn't even see the other side of the store. It was that big. It was in Morgan City, Louisiana, of all places. But I talked to the clerk there, and she kind of showed me around a bit. Because I knew I was going to be away from home for a good 60 days. She showed me around a bit and she turned, asked me what my budget was and all that. And they had a selection of fleshlights there. And so that was my first toy. And I generally only used it when I was away from home traveling.
Like literally away from home traveling, you're on the way
Yeah.
or you're settled in a place.
I owned a home in New Orleans, and I owned a which I rented out. I owned a home in Virginia, and so basically, the wife and I weren't getting along terribly well anyway. So just about every time some incident occurred around the country, I'd either get called upon based on my qualifications or I would volunteer, and I'd be gone maybe 20 to 60 days, depending on whether it was a hurricane or whatever. And I'd, grab the flashlight and the related supplies and take it with me. I guess my experience with sex toys is pretty limited. I don't have like a suitcase full of amazing objects, like some people do.
How does it feel? Like, how does it feel differently from using a doll than a flashlight?
Something like a flashlight is merely enhanced masturbation, right? I mean, it's still very much like masturbating. You're not going to get big afterglow from it or anything like that. Whereas sort of the anticipation of undressing your doll, it's kind of a it's foreplay of a different type. It's you're feeling it, and because you can project, your feelings into the doll, she's always going to consent enthusiastically, right? I mean, I've never heard of a doll withdrawing consent, unless a person's really conflicted. But the so basically, it's the whole setup, undressing the doll, feeling it in your hands, and the thing is, when you have sex with a doll, you're using all the same muscles you'd be using if with a real person. So all of the endocrine stuff kicks off, your glands start working together. And for instance, I've never heard of anybody trying to hero up on a fleshlight, right? It's not an issue of performance. But the thing with a doll, though, is that to the extent that the doll crosses the uncanny valley, the sex with the doll is a fairly authentic emulation. I mean, because, like, I don't know about silicone. I've never owned a silicone doll, but TPE is a bit springy. It'll tighten up on you, it'll squeeze on you, it'll bounce back for you. It's really a realistic experience. And the so what happens is you wind up basically getting all of the same vasopressin rush and the afterglow and that sort of ecstatic exhaustion that you would get if you're with a real person. What you don't get is the conversation, and you don't take the doll out to a diner at midnight, to have a midnight meal after the act. There's a obviously there's certain things you don't do. As far as afterplay goes, well, that's kind of a doll maintenance thing. The afterplay gets replaced by cleaning things up, and getting her back in shape, for long term.
Cleaning and maintaining and make sure it's at least in a good condition for next time.
Yeah. Or, prepared to stand, where or sit wherever you tend to, keep the doll for weeks on end, whatever. But
So all those amazing moments with Hadley or probably Harbor and Kendall, do you consider yourself falling in love with them?
if they weren't here, I'd miss them. I mean, I do feel very warmly and toward them, and I'm it's hard, it's hard to compare love between people and affection for an object, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
because I mean, some people are able to go all the way down the rabbit hole. You know, they dive in head first and they just go all the way there. And I'm like, well, what happens if you accidentally damage the doll and have to replace her? Or if just through time and, you know, posing and moving her around, you know, you break a joint or you wind up with repairs that you just really can't handle. What happens to you then? I mean, if you're in love with you, if you're really in love with your doll and don't see her as more of like a member of a guild, you know, like Hadley, for instance, is WM Head 188, 163C body. They're still making those. And I actually bought an extra 188 head just in case, right? So I have that one. Yeah, I break that one out every couple of months just to make sure that it doesn't need more powder or something like that. But so she's got a backup. People, yeah, we don't have backups, you know? I mean, I don't know if it would work for a woman, but, you know, when men become enamored with someone, dependent you are on them, we tend to be pretty stoic, you know. Like I didn't react emotionally to either of my divorces. I mean, frankly, I wouldn't have given them the pleasure. So when it was like, this isn't working, I want out, I was like, I said something to her that she had said to me for years. All I said was, fine. You know, and I didn't freak out or anything, you
That's
know, but
quite stoic.
yeah,
Classic
but.
stoic reaction.
Yeah, but the well, the thing is, if you're gonna freak out, you're liable to, you know, in you know, it's liable to injure your own. It's not in your best interest. It's not in your best interest. You're gonna mess up. So,
You wouldn't
yeah,
fix anything if you freak out. You're just better
yeah.
just react accordingly and treat it like appropriately. I guess that's
Yeah.
a mature way to do it, right?
You know, I guess in my case, it was like, okay, I went in the hobby room, my hobby room. I took a deep breath and I said, all right, well, that was about a 50-50 14 years. You know, it's 14 years I'll never get back, but it certainly wasn't wasted because, you know, we traveled around the world during that time. We saw all kinds of great things. We rode the roller coasters, you know, we did everything. So I was like, all right, well, this movie's over, you know, next. And, you know, then it was just dealing with the fallout from the divorce, which took a few years.
I mean, I love this mindset. Love it, especially when you say like you guys had good times. You appreciate that. It's just like a movie, like there will be an ending of it. Either it's a good ending or a terrible one, really depends on how you react to it.
Yeah.
So, way to
Oh, and
go.
for well, for you know, for some people, the you know, for some people, the relationship itself ends. You know, like approximately 50% of those who get married nowadays in the Western world, that or it ends with sending a partner off to the afterlife, right? Over their deathbed. Either one's gonna hurt, right? I mean, you have to accept that when, you know, if you decide you're gonna get married, you have to accept that those are the two penultimate outcomes. You know, eventually you're going to experience one of those two things, and there's no point flipping out about it. Yeah, anyhow. Say, I wanted to ask you, this is kind of a major 90 degree swerve on the conversation,
Go
but
ahead.
would you be willing to, you know, drop a little information on me about the relationship between the Sexopedia con podcast and Love Nestle? I'm not real sure I understand that.
We have a brand called Love Nestle, right? It's selling silicone sex doll torsos, but we're thinking about because we did a lot of work in diving into the love doll communities, and we found there are so many fascinating stories about it, like people acquiring dolls because of there is something going on in their life. Because they need to keep company. I mean, deeply inside, it's very authentic and true human desire. And we just started this podcast called Sexopedia. It's basically a coined word from sex and encyclopedia and connect
Right.
together Sexopedia. So the purpose of
Okay.
this podcast is just to presenting like to the general audience stories about doll lovers, stories about people and adult entertainers and sex health
I see.
education, something like this.
Yeah. Okay, well, I looked at your, so basically you do work for Love Nestle though.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That was one thing that I just wasn't really sure of. I knew you were associated somehow. I just wasn't sure how formal that association was.
No, that's okay.
Yeah,
No.
and I noticed that you've also done podcasts with, like sex and relationship therapists
Right.
and so that's good. It sounds like you're casting a wide net.
We're just trying to reach more people and cover more topics and just letting people know, like using adult toys, using dolls, or want to learning about sex education is are healthy.
Right. Yeah. I don't think that people appreciate, like I was talking about earlier, grounding out that, full moon werewolf feeling. I don't think other people who aren't into toys and stuff, and maybe they're sexually active with a partner, maybe they're not, but popular culture like college comedy movies and stuff like that,
Right.
There's almost always a goofy scene where there's a blow up doll or a dildo or something like that,
No,
and
it's true.
everybody points and laughs, and all that does is sustain the
Yeah.
stereotypes and the stigma. But
Right.
the thing is that if you are a passionate person and have a healthy sex drive, if you don't have someone to share that with, then I highly recommend using something other than your hand. Because there's very little satisfaction in that, in my
Yes.
experience. But yeah, I think the rest of society benefits from that because, like when I go to social occasions, or encounter people in public, that werewolf switch is turned off. I no longer go out in public, looking at everyone like it's somebody I might be able to stick my dick in. Not to be vulgar, but that's really the way it was for a whole lot of years. Yeah, but the dolls, man, I don't feel any of that anymore. I mean, it really has been revolutionary for me in
Right.
terms of changing the way I walk through the world now. The lenses I view the world with are completely different from when I was a young man.
Dick.
Much friendlier, much friendlier.
Yeah, that softened you a bit.
Yes, it did. It took, like you said earlier, it took that pressure off. It removed that factor from my daily approach to everyone around me.
It reminded me of a conversation with a sexologist. So she met a lot of couples, and she said it's very common for people to have unmatched sex drives. Sometimes people have really high sex drive. It's, in a marriage, a lot of times sex is more like you want it, but I don't want it kind of
Oh,
scenario
yeah.
that a lot of people face that. So they have a various like solution for this. Probably someone would call a sex worker, the other partner just pretend they don't know, but they still have a family and life going on, right?
Right.
I think sex doll is something like that. It helps you solve part
Yeah.
of your like desire or something like that, so you can enter your life in a more peaceful and friendly mindset. Also, I think like for some people, sex desire is like a taboo, like something you shouldn't mention, but it's just desire. It's just like you want to eat this chocolate cake. When you can't have one, you definitely feel terrible. I mean, especially if you don't have satisfied this desire for a long time, it's natural that you feel terrible. I mean, because we are human
Well,
and this is how we wired, right?
right. No, well,
Yeah.
especially if that d delicious chocolate cake is sitting on the counter right next to you,
Exactly.
and
Yeah.
yeah, I suppose that is sort of the same kind of confusion's not the right word, but like when mom would bake cookies and set them out to cool, and she'd say, "Don't touch those," right? I mean,
Yeah, but that make you want to touch it even more.
exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. In
Yeah.
fact, I think that is probably the moment when most kids either fail to or master the art of deceit. Anyway, back onto the sex toy thing. It's like I find it interesting that the idea that a lot of women have a drawer full of various sex toys that perform, numerous functions
Right.
seems to have been pretty much destigmatized. Like it's empowering. She's
Yeah.
taking charge of her sexuality
Yes.
unabashedly, right? But if some people find out that a guy is using toys, let alone a full doll, they still recoil. A lot of people would still recoil from that and go, "What's wrong with you? Can't you get a girl?" You know, and it's like, what if I don't want a real girl? You know, what if I had slid on my ass down that rocky road so many times that I'm sparing the women by not trying to date them? You know, there does seem to be sort of a double standard between the sexes when it comes to sex toys. It will probably dissolve over time, but I think it's still pretty alive and well
Yeah, it's
in our
still
culture.
out there. And I don't know if it's right for me as a woman to say this, but I feel sometimes male undertake more pressure than women in terms of sexuality because I don't think woman has this thing called performance anxiety. And as you said, you just mentioned, can't you just get a girl, this kind of expectation? Like, yes, for example, just like in high school, if you didn't like break your virginity before you're 15 or 16, you consider someone who's loser or whatever. Yeah, I guess that's something kind of unfair.
I think we could probably dissect just about any political or social issue and find plenty of unfairness or at least dissonance. You know, it all comes down to how you decide to, you know, to cope, you know,
Yeah, that's right.
to you know, develop a strategy that works for you, the individual, you know, and whether that involves achieving your release with toys or dolls
That's
or
right.
a committed relationship, and you know, go along with your partner's rhythms in a positive way with getting pissed off if they're not in the mood, you know, or indulge them when they're in the mood and you're not. I mean, that's a lot of decisions to make, really. You know, because you should
Personal.
never do anything by accident. Everything you do in life should be on purpose, by the way.
Yes, you
That's at
should.
least that's my philosophy.
Right. It's just like Socrates said, you shouldn't live a life that has not been examined, sort of like that. So I can't totally understand that because personally speaking, I'm also way past the stage of asking for permission about how I should live my life. And I guess it's the same thing. Sometimes I just feel I'm really exhausted and don't want to connect to people. So just use some masturbators or dolls make me feel better. At least I got some satisfaction. I don't see it as something that, shameful or whatever.
Well,
But
the other thing is if you understand the biochemical processes that are motivating you, right? It's like you may not actually, you know, trying to find a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend might actually not fill the bill because your genes are driving you. You know, we are products of our chromosomes and they drive us around. We're just their drones, really. If your body's telling you that you need that release and you need it right now, then you should take it by artificial means if necessary. Because I'll tell you what, there is very few things in life more frustrating than being overworked, pent up, haven't had sex in like 3 weeks. And the object of your desire is sitting on the couch watching TV, being absolutely inaccessible. Sexual frustration wise, I think that is the worst ever. That was why, you know, I actually wound up starting to use my Fleshlight at home too, you know, because I was like, well, I'm going to sleep better if I do this. So off we go. Yeah. So anyhow, I mean, I applaud those people who have lifelong warm relationships and respond to each other consistently and all that. But, you know, there's so much out there article wise. I mean, Cosmopolitan, Vogue, New Yorker. I mean, you pick up any magazine and you're liable to find an article about couples who are having difficulty.
Yes, that's
You know?
very common in modern like love life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everyone has a lot of going on in their lives. Probably it's about family, romance, personal life, careers. I mean, there will be a lot of moments that your cortex stop working because of some pressure in life, or and your amygdala start to like cast the spells. So it's natural. It's natural. And so guys, if you've any of you have those kind of like experienced this kind of scenario or situation, just treat yourself nicely and give yourself a break.
Yeah, and others. Yeah, treat
Yeah.
them nicely too, if you can.
Yes.
But
Yes.
Yeah, now do you own a doll or a male torso or a female torso, anything like that?
Yes, I do, but it's not actually for using. I'm just collecting them as toys. Yeah, I have
Okay.
some. I had some book toys like with different shapes and colors, and I'm just like collecting them. I have a little glass closet
Yeah.
in a lot. I was in my study room at home, so kind of treated as like a collection just for appreciation purposes. Yeah,
I
because
see.
I try to like use male sex dolls, but I don't see it works. It feels weird for me because it just doesn't feel good physically.
Well, I can understand that because, no matter, no matter how engaged you are, and I've when particularly before I was married and I was just kind of out, work in the fields, I did have a few, energetic lovers over the years. I think it might be difficult for some women to cross that mental, not just the emotional barrier, but the mental barrier, because you still have to do all the work. Your male sex doll, is not going to pick you up, toss you on the bed, pin you down, and give you a proper rogering, right? It's just not going to happen. So, yeah, I think although there are quite a few women on the doll forum who have male dolls, and they're very happy with them, so they've been able to adapt.
Yeah, probably it's just I saw many people, they are having a great time with their male sex doll. They're writing stories, updating journals about them, but for me it's just not my thing, because yeah, like TFM the other day gave a really great metaphor for this. It's like you're doing a lap dance on a doll.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. That's right. You did say that. Sure. Well, and I've known women who like doing that. It's like,
But
sure. I mean, some of them love taking charge and, riding you off over the horizon. But for most women, I think I can imagine that for a lot of straight women anyway, they instinctively like to be sexually dominated, for lack of a better term, and maybe it's because some of them have, there's still so many like stigmas and taboos around sex and all that. I think, I have dated women, decades ago who they acted like, I mean, they definitely wanted to get laid, but they didn't want it to look like it was their idea. Right. And they, it's almost like, they wanted it, but they didn't want to take responsibility for their half of the encounter. It was like sex was just something that got done to them. And if it was good, they were happy about it. If it wasn't good, maybe they wouldn't be happy about it. But either way, they didn't want to step in as the prime motivator of the
It's
encounter.
right. It's
Right.
classic female porn scenario.
Right.
Yeah, which I think is bullshit. I don't like it, but I know some people enjoy it. And well, honestly speaking, I would love to try positions with a partner, but when you're with a doll, there's just like no such dynamic. And
Yeah.
as you said, like you don't get to be pounded, and that feels weird.
Right. Yeah. It's yeah, I mean, you can yell harder or faster at your male doll all you want. And it's not going to change anything, but the now see, someday perhaps, when we get to the when the technology gets to the point where the dolls are independently mobile and have all kinds of sensor systems in them and everything else, and they can truly provide the body electric that Ray Bradbury wrote about, right? And essentially be a non-human with all the same capabilities, which sounds a little dangerous, by the way.
But
Because machines do tend to malfunction, right? And I don't know if I'd want a violently malfunctioning sex doll in my bed,
yes, and
especially if I
especially
was on the submissive position, right? With a 300-pound male robot on top. Oh my goodness. But the We're so, I think we're still a long ways away from that
Right.
because frankly, right now, we've got servo-driven electronic systems and bodies that can, skeletons that can maintain their balance and they can see and they can hear, they can respond, right? And they can do really delicate things too. But the fact is, if you mold it, if you dipped one of those in TPE and let it cure, and then had them walking around and doing things, they'd walk right out of the TPE. It's far too fragile. It rips, it tears, it splits, and without proper care, of course, it can deteriorate as well. And I think that's probably going to be the main stumbling block going forward when it comes to creating truly human-like robots. It's not the skeleton and the motive system. I really think it's going to be the flesh that holds the technology back.
It's very interesting because we are also working on that direction, especially about AI sex dolls or sex robot, those can move and talk. So we were having this discussion with an artificial intelligence expert about, having the robot like move and interact with people. But later on, we found it's very risky. As you said, you don't know when this robot will like malfunction. Have you ever watched like the Big Bang Theory? Like there's a scene which Howard using a NASA robot to masturbate, and then the robot ending up picking up his penis and wouldn't let go. You don't want this scenario, right? But it happens, and sometimes it's unpredictable at this stage. So we were like, probably at the end of the day, we were going to have like a sex doll with, kind of something like Alexa. Like you talk to her, like she talks back, but nothing moving like physically.
Comes when it comes to doll vocalizations. I mean, obviously my dolls are, they're all from WM. They're a manufacturer that, in the late teens, they were the one I trusted the most. And granted, some of the other manufacturers have gone in a lot of doll owners and doll enthusiasts' opinions, some of the other manufacturers have really broken new ground when it comes to, skin textures and realism and stuff like that. But I'm perfectly happy with, my 5 and 6 year old, WM dolls. But one thing I did in order to enhance the sexual experience, and this may be of use to some people, is I went ahead and got an MP3 player. And I found a website called the Orgasm Library, and they had thousands of recordings of both men and women in the throes, building up to and in the throes of orgasm. So I went through a lot of the women, and I found the voices that I thought best fit my dolls. And sometimes, if I feel like I need that additional little bit, of sensation, I'll just put that little MP3 player with an external speaker behind the doll's head. I can basically close my eyes and it sounds like I'm really heroing up on her. Which is great.
Which is
It's
great.
very stimulating. But I'm sure psychiatrists or and psychologists probably have a term for this, but men don't all have the same approach to sex. They don't all have the same drives exactly. And like in my case, I didn't realize it at the time, but and I suppose it's somewhat ego driven. But it takes a lot of self-awareness to truly understand your motivations in life, particularly when it comes to why you're attracted to someone. You really got to dig deep to figure out what you're doing. I was essentially not just chasing the sexual experience and the pleasure of it, I was also chasing the female validation. It's like when I was in a relationship with a woman, once we had bonded sexually, I wanted to feel like Zeus on top of Mount Olympus with Hera on my arm. I mean, that's the way it was. That psychologically, I wanted to be king of the world and she was going to be my queen and whatever. And how stupid that may sound. That
I
may
mean,
sound stupid, but it's at the root of my primitive brain.
I mean, that's not stupid at all. It's very, I also have this kind of like scenario going on, especially when I'm seeking for male validation. It's just like something unconscious. Sometimes when you're, and for me, especially when I was single, when I was still single, and when I enter a new like social environment or a new space, I'll make sure I'm good looking. I eat well, I go to the gym, but it's not like living a healthy lifestyle bullshit. It's just me wanting male validation and wanting to be the girl that's attracting everyone's attention. I know this is going on. It's definitely not healthy. It shouldn't be like it's not the attention that you should want to have, but I just enjoy it.
Yeah, well, you certainly sound attractive. Yeah, I'm not sure that it's that unhealthy. I mean, the belief that as much as we try to divorce ourselves from our roots in nature and our evolution and all the forces that drove that evolution, I mean, there's a reason why our species has, survived, and that's because Mother Nature has her way with us. And one of the ways she does that is obviously the people who were more inclined to seek that kind of attention were also more likely to pass on offspring. There were primitive people out running around not having sex. I'm pretty sure their family lines died out pretty darn quick. But it may have taken me decades, but I think I've found a healthy balance between the animal and the human part of me that sort of transcends the animal as a result of things like socialization, responsibility, knowing right from wrong, all of that stuff. But you have to sift through the things like, the stigma about sex dolls and sex toys and stigma about having an active sexual lifestyle and all that. You have to, as you alluded to earlier, you have to be able to put your middle finger up in the air and
Yeah,
get what you
exactly.
want out of life and accept yourself for who you are.